Hello and welcome to the program. My name is Michael Finney. Today I am joined by Russell Ratcliffe. Would you like to introduce yourself, sir?
Hey everyone, I'm Russell. I'm one of the founders of Dappling Network.
Great. So let's hear a little bit about you, you know, who you are, a little bit about your background. You're a developer. Tell us about it.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a developer by trade. Been doing software stuff for the last 7 or 8 years or so. Originally was focused more on the Web2 space, worked at a couple of large tech companies, also founded a company called DeepHire that was building one-way video interviewing software. Now I'm focused more in the Web3 space, got into the space about 2 years ago. I essentially got introduced to the Ethereum white paper by one of my close friends, read through that, and almost immediately became obsessed with smart contracts in particular. What you could do and what you could build with like these programmable contracts on chain. So essentially became obsessed after that, started a protocol called Arbor Finance, and now I'm working on Dappling, which I'd be happy to get more into and happy to dive into like any of those specifics. But TLDR, very heavy on like the developer software side and now focused on the Web3 space in particular.
Yeah, for sure. Are there any particular angles in terms of being a developer that you think are pertinent or interesting from your background, maybe an anecdote or a story, something along those lines, how you fell into it originally?
Yeah.
You know, anything.
So I actually went to college for computer engineering, but that was more focused on like the electrical engineering side and the low-level hardware side. Mm. And I actually got interested in programming in particular through hackathons. One of my really close friends basically convinced me to go to one of these events, which is essentially just, if you're not familiar with a hackathon, it's like a programming competition where you have like 72 hours to build something. And after I participated in that event, I think like my eyes really opened to the power of software as a whole, where it's almost like alchemy. Anything that you can think of, you can essentially create and write software for. So basically like the first hackathon that I went to, it kind of set off an obsession for me around like software. And that's when I like really, really got into the programming side.
Yeah, very cool. Subsequently, also how we met was at a hackathon, as it turns out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of the reason I decided to do the I'm Not Art stuff is like when I was in college, I probably did 20 to 30 hackathons that I went to.
Wow.
So it was definitely a pretty instrumental part of like me learning to be a developer, learning how to build things, learning how to pitch ideas. So I think they're really good events.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I've done a handful of them, not only the build side, but the pitch side. And I think that in terms of drilling down into a hyper-focused attention on creating a project, they achieve that very well. And I would say the I'm Not Art hackathon has been very well produced along those lines. How early or late did you get involved with that?
With the I'm Not Art hackathon?
Sure.
A couple of weeks ago, like 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think, I actually met Tippy. I was on an IPFS community call that they host every Tuesday for people that are involved in the IPFS community in some way. And that's where I actually met Tippy and heard about his vision and what he wanted to build and what he wanted to do with I'm Not Art hackathon. So then I thought Tippy was a really interesting character. I liked how he
definitely
like explained things. And I don't know, I just, he had a certain vibe that I really liked. And he was looking for sponsors for the event, sent me some information. For us, what we're building with Dappling, our main customer is developers. So it like made sense for us as well. As a way that we could get some people to try out our product and deploy their sites with Dappling. And it was kind of a natural synergy there. So I talked to Tippy a couple more times and liked the event, liked what everyone was trying to do, and decided to become a sponsor for the event. So that's kind of the TLDR on how that happened.
Yeah, for sure. Tell me about the results in regards to Dappling and being involved with the hackathon, because I think that that's a good place to start and get into some of those things. Like, how did you recommend folks approach the project and be able to incorporate Dappling? I know you guys were kind of a side quest in in the CyberJam parlance, but it's specifically, you guys kind of serve a niche for deploying sites.
Yeah, exactly. So at a high level, like what we're doing with Dappling is we're making a tool for developers to deploy their front ends in a decentralized way, and have a lot of the nice quality of life features that you get from something like Vercel or Netlify. And for the event, we sponsored a side quest for $500 for the top three projects that deployed their site to Dappling. So as far as results, from what we've seen so far, we've had about 20 people that have deployed their site to Dappling. I haven't seen like the submissions and stuff yet for the judging. It looked like everyone from the online part of the hackathon used Dappling for their project. And then a bunch of people for the real life part did. And then a bunch of people on the virtual or like participating remotely did as well. So we've had about 20 deployments that I've seen so far. And I also went to the event in person, and it was fun chatting with everyone and meeting everyone in person.
For sure. Absolutely. They did a great job in terms of that production for the series in total. Last day, coming up, by the time this comes out, it'll be over and decided, but that's, we are in the moment. So
nice.
Let's talk a little bit more about Dappling specifically. We don't have to get into the super technical nitty gritty, but, give us more detail on, the problems it solves and how it makes things simpler for users.
Sure. So at a high level, I guess we're targeting and building this product for people, front-end developers, building some sort of front-end in the Web3 space. And our target user, like our main user, is people building a DeFi protocols. And if you think about, I guess, first of all, like if you're building a front end for any type of application, there's different options that you can use for hosting. Right now, the two most popular are like Vercel and Netlify. And essentially, they make it extremely easy to like deploy your app and have a really good developer experience while doing so. So essentially, like the flow with Dappling and with these platforms is you connect your GitHub account, you click a couple buttons, and boom, you have a site that's live and that's deployed. And then there's a ton of stuff that goes on under the hood that's actually done to make sure that that site has good availability and is performant. There's some stuff that comes out of the box with these platforms and Dappling, like automatic CI/CD. So if you make an update on GitHub, it automatically updates your production site. And then for us, we're focusing on the Web3 niche. And one thing in particular that we're focusing on is around uptime and the idea of multiple different access points for your application. And one example of why you would want this or why would you need this is if you think about a lending DeFi protocol. During a like market movements, if you're using something like Ethereum as collateral and you're borrowing, USDC against that, if the price of Ethereum goes down, if you do not pay back your USDC or add more Ethereum, then your position will get liquidated. You'll lose your collateral. You have to pay a liquidation fee. And if you're one of those users, the market movements are going down, or like the price of that asset is going down. It's a really, really big deal if you cannot access the application to repay your position. And the smart contract layer, that's always available. You can always interact with that like directly through the blockchain, but that's way more complex than most users can do or should need to do. So essentially with Dappling, we're promoting the idea of hosting an alternative front end alongside your main deployment. So if you think about something like Aave, they have their main site that's at like aave.com. It's using centralized infrastructure, so it's really fast for users. Most of the time, it's using like a CDN and some other things. But if there's ever downtime in that main application, then essentially they're able to have another deployment, like backup.alve.com, for example, that's using a completely different set of infrastructure. That if their main front end is down, they can just point users to this alternative front end, and they're still able to interact with the application. So that's the primary use case that we've seen is essentially boosting the availability of applications where availability is really, really, really important.
Very cool. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the team, the other founders, where the idea was born out of specifically, maybe how you guys coalesced on the idea for Dappling?
Yeah, sure. So right now we're super small. We're a team of three, me and my co-founder Kyle, and then Grace, who's a founding engineer. And essentially this problem started with something that we had while building a DeFi protocol, where we were building Arbor Finance, which is a way for DAOs to be able to issue bonds against their native token. And we were looking for a way to host our front end in a decentralized way. And essentially, there were no good options. It was basically, we had to choose between having it be decentralized or have really bad, or sorry, be decentralized and have really good performance, or we could use centralized infrastructure and it'd be good performance, but it'd be, it basically have like availability issues, censorship issues, et cetera. So this is essentially a problem that we had ourselves that we were facing. And we started exploring, talking to some of the other founders that I knew, and essentially a lot of them were facing the same problem, basically right. had the same issue. We decided to build like a proof of concept. People were very excited about it, started to pick up. And basically that kind of just kept snowballing. And we've been learning more, adjusting the product, continuing to build and make it better. And that's essentially how it started, though. A problem that we had, that other people had, and that's essentially the origin.
Right. Yeah, I think there's always this kind of back and forth between, you know, the traditional web community and the token and blockchain community in regards to making sure that you can be part of the decentralized ethos, but then using all of these very centralized tools and platforms. And I see that kind of ongoing for X number of years at this point. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us, you know, where are assets stored in regards to Dappling when people are using it?
Yeah. So right now with our current infrastructure, essentially we're using, I guess, so we essentially have the idea of a centralized deployment and a decentralized deployment. So if you were to deploy your site on Dappling right now, your main deployment, if you connect a DNS name, would be pointing to that centralized deployment. And that's essentially, so it's really fast for the majority of use cases. But then in addition to that, there's the decentralized deployment site or side, which that data is stored and deployed on IPFS. And then for pinning, we use a service called Filebase there. And for the decentralized deployment, you're also able to add an ENS name that points to that that decentralized IPFS hash there. And that ENS name, that's essentially another entry point into your application that people can use to access the decentralized version of it. So we're using, like on the, I think you asked like what technologies or where the assets are stored. For the decentralized version, it's IPFS. For the centralized version, we're using Cloudflare as our, or sorry, not Cloudflare, CloudFront as our CDN layer. For the build process, we're also, like, that's also pretty centralized right now, where we're using a lot of like AWS's resources. But once the application is deployed, it's on, there's a version of it that's on the centralized infrastructure and then a version of it that's on the decentralized infrastructure.
Okay, so let me follow that up here.
Sure.
Simple yes or no, is this exclusively for the Ethereum community currently?
No, so it's blockchain agnostic. So okay. Anyone building any type of decentralized app, they can use our platform. But we don't do anything directly on blockchains right now. We're essentially using other decentralized tech. The main piece is the storage layer, where IPFS is the most popular thing to use right now for decentralized storage. In the future, we also want to add things like decentralized compute. And there's some excited stuff on the like decentralized bandwidth side coming as well. Saturn Network is one of them. I don't know if we don't need to jump into that. Fleek's Edge Network is another thing that's interesting. But we're blockchain agnostic. We are thinking of the idea in the future of essentially this idea of like applications or like infrastructure as code. And those infrastructure files are defined on the blockchain. And that would make it so we're basically reading that blockchain file as a source of truth for the infrastructure that we provision. And that makes it so anything that can interact with a smart contract will basically be able to interact with the front end resources as well. So that's something else that we're looking into, and that we will have to pick some blockchain to use for that. Right. But right now, blockchain agnostic.
Yeah, I like that point that you make, because I do think that when we talk about decentralization, I think that there's two sides to it, where I think the traditional web community sees decentralization as something like the torrent model, where in terms of Web3 or blockchain and token technology, we're looking at assets being stored on chain, being able to be potentially computed on chain as well. So I think that there's kind of these different levels of that term that you kind of have to delineate and then also define for users.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask you this. Are there any things that we should know about that we have not talked about yet?
Anything that you should know about, like about me, about Dappling, about, it's kind of a broad question, right?
Yeah, sure. You know, what's going on?
Well, I'm really excited about the future of, like, right now, decentralized tech is in a pretty nascent space. Like, storage, there's a kind of okay solution for, which is like IPFS, Filecoin, to help incentivize the storage there. There's a couple other people working on it as well. The decentralized compute side is still super nascent, but the compute market as a whole is huge. And there's some pretty cool teams working on it now that I'm excited by. There's a team called Fission that's building something called IPVM, which I think stands for Interplanetary Virtual Machine, maybe. I might have got the name wrong, but they're building some compute stuff, which I'm really excited about, because we want the ability to offer like serverless functions in some way in our application, because it's extremely common for people to want to like connect to a database or store like an API key to connect to some external service.
Right.
And right now, since we're only static front end, we're not able to support that. We're thinking of taking an approach where essentially we, like, our main priority is making it as fast and intuitive for users and developers as possible. And we're going to gradually adopt the decentralized tech for the different pieces as it gets good enough for production. So we're planning on actually implementing a more centralized version of the serverless function starting out. And then on our backend, as the decentralized tech improves, we'll automatically switch it over and give the users the additional benefits of having that as a like decentralized layer. And I'm also very excited about the idea of like decentralized CDN networks, where, if anyone in the audience, if you're not really familiar with how a CDN works, essentially, like, when you request to visit a website, your request will go to a server
central office somewhere that's basically on the backbone of the network.
A central office somewhere. And then there's a concept of a CDN, where instead of just having one server that all requests go to in Ohio, for example, I guess, first of all, if there's one server in Ohio, it'll be fast for people in Ohio. But if you have users that are in like Asia or Europe, then it has to travel all the way to Ohio. So there's going to be really high latency, like a couple seconds of latency across that data.
So with the CDN, instead you trade off and you're able to duplicate that content into multiple locations. And that way the call time and the ping back and forth shortens up.
Yes, exactly. So the CDN, now you basically duplicate that data. Yeah. So you have it in like 1,000 locations. There's one, if you're in Asia, there's one next to you in Asia or nearby to you in Asia. So you make that request and it's much faster. And right now, there are central operators that are operating these CDN networks, and they have to basically run all of these different nodes. And I'm pretty excited about like the decentralized CDN networks, where they essentially incentivize like different companies and different people to run those CDN nodes. And I think that has the potential to have to basically have way more nodes that someone like AWS can provision and maintain. Because, for example, like if you have the CDN content that you're trying to request down the street versus a couple hundred miles away, that means that websites load faster for you. And if these decentralized networks are able to make basically like 300,000 different of those CDN nodes versus like 10,000 of those CDN nodes, then it has the potential to like speed up the internet for everyone, because you're able to fetch content closer to you. So I'm super excited for what's just going on in like the CDN side and the decentralized CDN side. So I guess that's maybe like one thing that I'm excited about. And yeah. Last thing to answer your question, which is like anything anyone should know. A lot of people talk about like decentralization and don't really focus enough of like why or the value props, where for us, the goal isn't necessarily to host your front end in a decentralized way. The goal is to host your front end with higher uptime, with additional features that you couldn't get if you were hosting it in a centralized way, and with like a emphasis on like Web3 security as well, to help against like things like DNS hijacking and different attacks that are more specific to like DeFi protocols. So I guess that's it for what people should know. CDNs are excited. Decentralized compute is exciting. And the benefits of decentralization are exciting, but decentralization for decentralization is meh.
A lot of stack. Glad to hear about the things that you are seeing happening and developing in the future. Appreciate you joining me today. Are there any final additional thoughts in regards to yourself or Dappling?
Additional things. I mean, if anyone's interested in Dappling, site is dappling.network. And of course, would love for anyone to give it a try to deploy your front end application. I think other than that, that's it. Excited for what's going on in this space. Appreciate you having me on, and glad we were both able to go to the I'm Not Art Hackathon.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time to join with me today, Russell, and talking about Dappling.
Great. Appreciate it, Michael.